We're continuing on our series looking at the book of Romans that we were looking at last autumn. We called this series Unashamed, some amazing, wonderful truths in the book of Romans of which we don't need to be ashamed, a book that has transformed the lives of so many key people who've helped shape church history and even the life of this church. It's a book that's had a huge impact on my life, and we're coming in these next few weeks to some of the most loved parts, if you like. But we're coming to them knowing and remembering some of the amazing truths of chapter 1 to 4 that make these verses and chapters all the more richer. So if you've not been here, do listen back to some of those talks from last year. But as we come into Romans chapter 5, I want to do something slightly different, given that it's the beginning of a new year. I want to focus on just one verse. And it's an amazing verse. This is a verse, I know as we begun this series, we spoke about how some people have memorized the whole of Romans. Great thing to do, but start with memorizing and trying to learn just some verses, and this would be a great verse to learn. It says, Romans 5, verse 17, it says this. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? How wonderful this! Let me read it again for us. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Let me pray and ask God to help us as we dig into his word together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. We pray, open our eyes again this morning to see how wonderful he is, how much we have received in him. We pray, come Holy Spirit, that you would help us see wonderful things in your word and apply them to our lives. Help me, help us, I pray. In your precious and powerful name, Jesus. Amen. I wonder what you've received that you're carrying into this new year of 2018. I got for Christmas a rocket. In fact, it's two rockets. And these aren't any old rockets. They're particularly for people over 10 years old, so I do count. Although it did make me think, probably not the wisest to do this with Jonah, because it does come with little explosives, that sticks of dynamite. And I was here at the Carols by Candlelight service, so I know not to take them on a plane, because these look even bigger than the firecrackers that Tim was talking about. But, you know, I'll be carrying these into the new year, looking for an opportunity in a big, wide open space, apparently, where I can fire this 1,000 feet up into the air. But what are you carrying into the new year? What gifts have you got? What maybe are you carrying, not just of kind of gifts, but maybe challenges that as you come into the new year, you're very aware of? Maybe even you're carrying hurt, disappointment. Maybe carrying a burden of guilt for things past, maybe in the past year or even over the past few weeks. What are you carrying into the new year? Maybe you're carrying a kind of bundle of resolutions that you've already kind of made as you start the year, and you're trying now to carry these resolutions into this new year. And you know, as I was thinking about this verse and this amazing theme of reigning in life, I was remembering hearing a Christian leader and speaker, Terry Virgo, once speak on this passage. And he talked about this phrase, reigning in life, and said, you know, that's meant to be the Christian experience. And along with that phrase, there's others verses in the Bible that talk about how we're to be more than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors, and that Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And I remember him saying, you know, that just sums up your life, doesn't it? You know, that's how your wife describes you to others. You know, he's reigning in life. He's more than a conqueror. Is it? Sometimes we feel, don't we, if only. If only. And there are moments in life, maybe particularly in moments like this at the beginning of a new year, where we kind of think, in a good way, God, this should be our experience. This is surely why you died and rose again, which we're going to come and remember as we come around this table. Jesus, we want to be those that reign in life. And at that good moment, sometimes what we can do is think, okay, God, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to set my alarm clock earlier. I'm going to try another kind of prayer rhythm or Bible reading plan. I'm gonna do more. I'm gonna make these bunch of resolutions, and this time I'm gonna keep them, Lord. And we set out, as it were, through the wrong door. Not actually the door that this verse describes as the way to reign in life. It's like, you notice at the front of the door here at church, there's kind of two doors. I hope you noticed. One's the fire exit, and this one, it isn't. So even though sometimes on a Sunday morning, more people kind of come and go out of that door in the morning, that's because that leads to actually just to a study. It's a dead end for a fire escape. And so if there's a fire, which door do you go out of? Go and point. That one, or that one, or that one, but not that one, okay? But you see, this is what happens at the beginning of a year or in a moment like that. Sometimes we think, right, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna try harder, and we head through the wrong door. And actually, it's a door that leads to death. So, how can we make sure we're heading through the right door as we head into this new year? And actually, Paul starts with kind of that door of death. He starts by saying, "Look, you need to see. There's this big problem in our world." And it's the problem of the reign of death. And it's in that context that we need to see the amazing good news of how we can reign in life. But first we need to see about the reign of death. And it starts in verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Who is that one man? Well, you don't have to look back far in Romans chapter 5 to see very clearly that that one man is Adam. That the trespass is the disobedience of Adam when he, in greed and pride, took what wasn't his, what God had said wasn't for him. And through that disobedience, through that sin, through that trespass, death came to Adam and death came to all mankind. And so Paul says, death reigned. Do you see that? It's a strong word, isn't it? Death reigned. I mean, in what way does death reign? Well, we often are a bit hidden from it. We're often in our society kind of like to keep death away so that we kind of think, well, everyone looks pretty okay. You know, there's the odd cough and cold. Actually, this time of year, quite a few coughs and colds. And we know of people who are ill, but so often we feel like, well, was this death reigning? But there are times when it kind of hits us, the reality of death. I remember times in my life over the years where, you know, death has come, or I've been aware of people who've died at unexpected times. Maybe you in your life have faced that. Maybe it's something on the news or a thing you pick up and it just hits you again. Oh my goodness. Death is real. We were at the prayer night on Wednesday night, and I'd noticed the same article that Steve mentioned as we were praying for the homelessness, that in 2017, 17 people died on the streets in Brighton and Hove. 17! That is 17 too many, isn't it? In fact, life expectancy for those on the street in Brighton and Hove is 30 years less than for the rest of Brighton and Hove. But that is not all the people who die in Brighton and Hove, though they are very visible to us because we can see them as we walk around, those who are on the streets. Most people die behind closed doors. Often, even as we were hearing again on Wednesday night, many die alone. many even not discovered, for days or weeks. The reality of death. I was at a funeral of a friend this past week, as some of you were as well. The coffin was just there. A few feet away, a dead body. A good man. But death affects us all. Death affects every family, every community, every nation. Death reigns in our world. And the root of death is the trespass, the disobedience, the sin that has caused us to turn our back on God. And it's a massive problem. And at times when we become exposed to the reality of death, we can find a number of different reactions coming up in our mind. Sometimes there's fear. Are you coming into this new year with a lot of fears? Maybe not just of death, but of other things too that all kind of tapped in. But sometimes there can be a kind of sense of, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to say, well, if death's there, there's a futility to life. So I'm just going to do whatever I want. And our city knows about that kind of eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. You know, that's actually taken from a couple of verses in the Bible, one in Ecclesiastes and one in Isaiah, which talk about when we kind of see there's no God, we'll just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. And I was thinking that's almost sums up so many people's approach in our nation to Christmas and New Year. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Just try and ignore everything else. Maybe even that's been your approach this Christmas. Forget about the problems. But it doesn't work. It doesn't deal with the problems. In fact, it doesn't even help us always ignore them, because Christmas and New Year are often a time when suicide rates go up and marriages are under more pressure. It doesn't deal with the problem. And I think we kind of know that. So sometimes there's another approach. Not just fear or futility, but it's this sense of, okay, do you know what? Death might be there. I might be kind of in this body that slowly is decaying, but I'm going to try and do what I can to stop it. I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm going to get fitter. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to work harder. And I'm going to make the most of my life. And we kind of particularly come into January, don't we? You know, as Sean was saying, you know, different, gym memberships go up. And it's like we head through this door that we think is going to be a right door. But actually, as you look at Romans 5:17, that's not the right door. Neither fear or futility or kind of fresh revolutions, putting laws and rules on ourselves, saying if only we can try harder, because none of us, that's been the story of Romans 1 to 4, none of us is good enough to keep even our own standards, let alone God's. That way is the way to death. So what's the other way? What's the way? What's the way to be rescued from the reign of death and to live and reign in life? Well, that's what I want, secondly, us to look at in this amazing verse together. And you notice here in Romans 5:17, it compares two men. The one, Adam, who it says in verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. This one new man, this kind of new representative, this new humanity that we can find in and through Jesus Christ is a rescue from the reign of death and a chance to do so much more than just even, you might think, well, if it's going to be a flip, it's not the reign of death, it's now the reign of life. But that's not what it says. It's not what the original says. It's not just now that through Jesus Christ, you know, death reigned through Adam, but now life reigns through Jesus Christ. That is true, but it's even more than that. What does it say? It says we will reign in life. That we reign over death and over life. And it's an amazing statement. It's like that we are brought with this wonderful King of Kings that we've been singing about, King Jesus. He invites us to reign with him, seated in heavenly places with him. Tim Keller, a great writer, puts it this way. He says, Christ's kingship makes us kings. Sin's kingship makes us slaves. we get to reign in life. So what does that mean? What does it mean to reign in life? What does it look like? How is it possible? Do you want to know? There's something about this phrase that stirs my heart, and I think, Lord, I want to know more of this. But I want to say, too, there's mystery here. You know, as I've been reading and studying and thinking about this, I think I don't fully, and even hear from others, they don't fully grasp all that this means. It's something wonderful that stirs our soul, and I can tell you some things that it isn't. It isn't reigning like the world's rulers reign and rule it over, lording it over people, controlling people. It's not about us controlling others. Even the reign of Christ on earth as he came, the king, he didn't express his rule and reign in that way. But it is a reigning over circumstances, over things that happen in our lives and situations, having the ability to reign over even death. It clearly is that. And you see that in Jesus' life, that no matter what came at him, he was the one who was king over it all. And he was the one who was part of a kingdom that wasn't of this world, but that impacted this world through his rule and reign. I heard one speaker speak on this who said, you know, it's the ruling and reigning over the difficulties, the big and little things. You know, sometimes the car breaks down at an unexpected moment. And then he paused and he thought, no, the car always breaks down at an unexpected moment. But it's reigning in life through the unexpected things, the unexpected challenges. I don't know what unexpected challenges you're facing as you come into this new year, but I imagine there are a bunch of them. Things that hit our lives and situations. And it is possible through Jesus Christ, through the one who died and rose again for us, who conquered death. It is possible to reign in life, even through the unexpected challenge of the loss of a loved one dying. Or even hearing the news, maybe of a terminal illness or sickness that you or I might get. It is possible to reign in life through those things. And I was thinking about that and thinking, I know of people. Some of you here who face great difficulties, and yet I see something in you which I think, how are they coping with that? They seem to be radiant and reigning even though the situation seems pretty dire. I thought about that at the funeral of my friend, how his wife and his son particularly, they just, yes, there were tears, there was sadness, but there was a radiance about their lives. Why? Because they discovered that they could reign in life. How? How do you do that? Well, this is what the verse tells us. The verse tells us there are two amazing resources. Two amazing, if you like, gifts. And they're not just a rocket or fuel, but boy, these can take us further and higher and enable us in whatever situation to have a whole new perspective on it. What are these two gifts? Well, grab your Bible, look at it with me, and it says this. In verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 17, it says, how much more will those who, read this bit with me, receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, like an amazing older brother, which is what he is, we're adopted into his family when we believe in him. He's like this amazing older brother who comes and brings these amazing gifts to us. Gifts that resource us to reign in life. I've got three kids and they're just old enough now to start being able to give gifts to each other, and they get so excited about these gifts that they've got for each other, or that, you know, they want to give and share. And I want to say the Lord Jesus is here this morning as you come into a new year, and he's got gifts for you. I mean, like, these are better gifts than anything you might have got from anyone else this Christmas time or over the last, you know, years. He's got gifts for you, and they're gifts that enable you and I to reign in life. Now, as we think about 2018, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen in the world. You don't know what's going to happen in your workplace. You don't know what's going to happen in your wider family or in your neighborhood or in Brighton and Hove. We're so much, we don't know. We look back and we think, wow, that was surprising. That was surprising. We don't know. So how is God going to give us a gift that whatever circumstance we face, we're going to be able to reign in? Well, because he's going to give us an abundant provision of grace. Get a load of that. An abundant provision of grace. We're never going to face anything in 2018 or even for the rest of your life or the rest of this day or this week that God's grace is not going to be able to provide and meet and enable. God's grace is sufficient for me and for you, for us as his people. God's grace is completely sufficient. So maybe you're feeling like your need is forgiveness. Maybe even the need to be able to forgive someone. Well, there is grace for forgiveness. Maybe you feel like your need is wisdom. Well, there's grace to bring wisdom. Maybe you're feeling like the need is peace. Well, there's grace to bring peace. Maybe your need is actually for strength. Well, there's grace that can sustain you as you go into 2018. What is your need? Are you looking and, here's the word, receiving God's abundant provision of grace? I find in my life, even in my day yesterday, as I was thinking about knowing what I was preaching on, I have to come often and say, God, I just need your grace again. I need your grace to be patient in this circumstance. I need your grace to be one who can reign in life in that circumstance. I just keep needing to draw off grace. But that's the wonderful thing about the abundant provision of grace. It keeps coming in our lives. You know, maybe one of the hardest things is when we're very aware of sin in our life. Maybe we have got those New Year's resolutions or those things where we think, we're aware of things in God's word that we should have done and maybe we haven't. But you want to read something amazing in Romans chapter 5? Look with me at the end of Romans chapter 5. See how amazing abundant is this grace. Romans chapter 5 says this, verse 20. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. The law shows up our sin. But where sin increased, what does it say, verse 20? Grace increased all the more. Wow. That is wonderful. That where even there's sin increasing, grace abounds to cover that sin. I mean, it is phenomenal, the abundant provision of grace. That is good news. How does that come to us? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And it's not just this abundant provision of grace, but Paul singles out an amazing part of grace, this other gift freely given, because grace and gift, they all describe stuff that we don't deserve. This amazing free gift of righteousness. Because here's the thing, we cannot, by our own effort, become righteous. We've seen that in Romans chapter 1 to 4. We often think that that's the best thing we're kind of going to bring. Look, God, I've sorted it now. I've got my life sorted. But none of us are righteous in our own way. This is not a church of perfect people. So if you're here visiting with us, welcome. If you're not perfect, it's okay. You're in the right place because we come to a perfect Savior and he offers us the gift of righteousness. So that I, David, can be declared righteous before God. Now, what do I have to do with that gift? Well, it says it, Romans 5:17, those who receive the gift of righteousness. I need to come and say, Jesus, I receive your righteousness. Mine's like filthy rags. Ditch mine. I receive your righteousness. And as I do that, whether for the first time or the umpteenth time, I find I go, wow, I'm right before God. And this gift of righteousness is actually something solid that we kind of take and own. It means we're justified. We're right before God. And so it's to do with our standing. Once you've received that gift of righteousness, you are righteous. We just sometimes forget it. But remembering that we've received the gift of righteousness means that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. I love this bit, another bit in Hebrews that Sean was taking us to this morning. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. You can do that anytime in 2018, anytime the rest of your life. How can you boldly approach the throne of God? Well, because it's a throne of grace, and because you can be clothed and robed with the righteousness of God. I love this little quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says these things about the gift of righteousness and the abundant grace. They're so important. And at no time, he says, is it more important than when we come to pray to God. For what is prayer? Prayer is going to have an audience with the King, and there is nothing more important as you enter the audience chamber than to know that you are suitably clad. And the only way which we can enter with any kind of confidence is to know that we have received the gift of righteousness, that we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So as you come tonight to the prayer night, we get to boldly approach the God who loves to give us things. He gave us his Son. How much more along with him will he graciously give us all things? And so we can go through the right door of trusting in Jesus and receiving his gift of righteousness and abundant grace. And we can press into the year knowing at any point we can receive from him. And as we do that, we see that our lives become these lives that are like salt in a decaying world. Like stars in a dark night. Lives that shine for him. Lives that will be those that point to Jesus. Lives that speak of his love and his grace. And one of the things that thrills my heart is when I see God working in lives. Many of you here and people whose lives become transformed by the love of Christ. I love it particularly when people stand and share their stories of why they want to get baptized. We've got a baptism service next week. A couple of folks have asked to be baptized. But I was remembering back to our service at the end of last year in the middle of December when one of those who got baptized was a guy called Luke who'd just come through Alpha and just come to put his trust in Jesus. And I was thinking, wow, just what a joy to see this brother now, this life being transformed. And it reminded me of another Luke, or Luca is his name in Italian. And I remember 2 years ago him getting baptized in December at a very similar time. And it's been a joy to have Luca in our Robin Hood community, our missional community, and seeing him kind of grow in that, as well as now start helping others grow in that missional community. And I was thinking, hey, this is just this beautiful picture of how people's lives, like Luke or Luca, where they get transformed, they encounter Jesus and his grace, and then God starts working in them so they start helping others. And Luca, as well as being part of our Robin Hood missional community, he just loves helping with the night shelter, which is beginning again in a couple of weeks, our night shelter team. And I bumped into Luca the other day and was just saying, I was remembering this, and I was saying, you know, so you're going to help with the night shelter again this year? And he said, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it, he says. And I want to just say thanks to all those who are part of that team now, trying to reach out and help those off the streets to find a place. But it's that picture of a transformed life, transforming others. And that happens, it multiplies, and that is the story of our church. That's the vision of why we are a church. We want to be those who are transforming our city and beyond as a movement of missionary disciples. That's our vision as a church. It's a kingdom vision. It's a vision that's bigger than us. It's way more than we can do on our own. It's a vision that requires us to be those people who are reigning in life. People who others can look at and say there's something different about how they're handling that challenge at work. There's something different about how they're handling that illness. There's something different about their lives because there's a radiance about it, because they are having a resource that I don't have. And we're able to say, yes, that resource is the abundant provision of grace through Jesus Christ. And we're following him. And we want to be good news to you. That's what a missionary disciple is. It's someone who's been rescued from the reign of death and freed to reign in life and be now good news to those around. And as we are those people, we will transform with the Lord Jesus the lives of others, because it's his work and he invites us to join him in it. It just happens as we receive his grace. We become those through whom he's able to work. Free people, freed from the reign of death and free to reign in life. And that's our values as well as a church. We want to be those who are following Jesus. He's the one we're leading. And then reaching out to those around us, being that kind of extended family all different ages and nationalities, recognizing that we need each other and doing everything in love. The Bible says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That faith that trusts and receives from Jesus Christ and then expresses that in love. You know, I was thinking about this and just the different lives here, and there's so many stories. All those at the front have got stories, and so many of you out here. And I just was remembering, it was back to the prayer night, and it was just such a joy seeing different people sharing their heart to be part of this vision of transforming our city. Because that's a big vision, but there's so many different ways and shapes that it works itself out in the life of the church, whether through what we do on a Sunday or through our missional communities or through the different teams that we have in the life of the church. And I was just thinking, Steve, about, you know, when you were sharing about the, not just the night shelter, but then the work with the Welcome Cafe, which was yesterday. I was praying for you guys at that. And I remembered, you know, Steve's story, which I said, Steve, would it be all right to share your story? Because I knew Steve... Where we were last year, I was encouraging people to think about, what's your story? How do you share your story of God's grace in your life? And I love the way Steve tapped it into his phone. So next time I asked him, he could just go, well, this is my story. And so I said, Steve, could you ping me your story? So he's said it's okay for me to share this. This is what Steve pinged me. My name is Steve. There you go. Give us a wave, Steve. I came to faith in my 40s. Before this, I thought I was okay. No criminal record. Family comfortable financially. I thought I was okay. Then someone invited my daughter to a church holiday club, and she loved it and wanted the fun to continue. So my wife brought her to church on Sundays. I just dropped them off and went home to watch Sky Sports. Kim kept saying, come. Eventually I did. On a personal level, people were welcoming and friendly and weren't all wearing sandals and long socks. And I was invited to a couple's home, and we studied the Bible and ate together. And I began to realize and accept that there was a hole in my life, that I was proud, materialistic, and the sermons really spoke to me. And I wanted to learn more about this Jesus. And I had to decide if he was a fraud teacher or someone else. I believed he was inviting me to a relationship, an open door. And I ultimately accepted that he was the Son of God, and I was baptized. I'm still on a journey. I still have questions and struggles. I'm far from perfect, but I do have purpose and hope. That's just one story. One story of a life transformed from someone who would rather watch Sky Sports than come to church. And probably there's many like that in our city. But God is able to take and transform lives like that. God is able through his grace and through us joining him in his work to transform lives so that then they become part of this amazing work of transforming the lives of others. So this morning, have you come to receive this transforming grace, this gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ? You coming into this year knowing that there is provision that enables you to reign in life, enabling us together as a church family to reign in life so that we can then join God in his work of transforming our city and beyond. And have you found your place in that? Have you connected in a way where you know what your part is in that body? Found your team, whether it's helping the youth or cap team, helping those in debt, or like that holiday club team. This year, find your place. Find your place that enabled God to keep working that grace in your life and through your life to others. But know, above all else, it's not about what we do. It's what Christ has done for us. This table here is a reminder that it's all about grace. It's all about knowing and receiving Jesus Christ and all that he's won and done for us. So come this morning and take hold of his resources. Come and let's receive again. Come, let's work with Jesus to transform our city and beyond. Let's be those free people, good news people, reigning in life through Jesus Christ, a kingdom people, proclaiming the king and living the kingdom. Should we bow our heads and pray? And I want to give you a moment to pause and reflect. Maybe there's things you have been carrying that you need to just lay at the cross. And maybe as we come to this communion table, you just want to take time to lay down one thing and receive afresh, or maybe even for the first time, what Christ has done for you in Jesus Christ.